Thank you all for coming. I had a chance to share a little bit about myself last night, but not to take too much time. But if you don't know me, I'm based down in Lakeland, Florida, planted a church, Heart of the Father Ministry. I'm on the eldership team down there, and also travel all throughout the USA in different parts of the world. Kind of my three things that I feel a mandate for are, one, to upgrade people in their encounter with Jesus Christ. Number two, to equip a prophetic generation. And number three, to empower church leaders. And so that's kind of the lanes that I run in. If you want to follow me, Jeremiah Johnson Ministries on Facebook or jeremiahjohnson.tv, you can find us on the web and podcasts, videos, blogs, prophetic words, kind of the whole shebang if you're wanting more. I want to just give away some free stuff tonight. Does anybody like free stuff? We've got a lot of stuff back on the product table. I'd love to go home with nothing. That would be awesome. It's a little light. I have my assistant, Matt, who's with me full-time but is not here this weekend, and so I appreciate even the help that many of you are offering. Thank you so much. What's back there? There's a lot back there. One series is called The Gospel of Grace from Romans chapter 6. How many of you know that you can wake up every day and you don't have to expect to sin? The power of the sin nature has been broken off of your life. You've been given a divine nature, and we also have the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. And Satan never counterfeits trash. And so the reason why he has counterfeited the message of grace and turned it into greasy, sloppy hyper grace in the body is because he knows how potent it is. The true gospel of grace comes and liberates us and sets us free from sin. So I want to encourage you to grab this. It's a two CD series. Who can I bless with this? You can give this to your rebellious brother or son, or, you know, listen to that for yourself. Bless you, man. Jesus, King and Judge. This is an encounter that I had last year. Jesus Christ came and showed up in my bedroom for the third time in my life. It's the third encounter that I've had with him. And he began to speak to me. Just turn me down just a little bit. He began to speak to me about in these last days, he is going to begin to reveal himself as the King and the Judge. Many people only know him as intercessor. They do not yet know him as the coming King and Judge. And this is just a fresh encounter. I remember on this particular one, I preached on the wrath of God. When's the last time you heard a message on the wrath of God? I preached it at a conference, and the fear of the Lord hit the building, and everybody was down on their face. And just a really precious, sweet old woman came up to me and said, "I've not heard that preached since Steve Hill at Brownsville, and I just think that something is coming again." So who can I bless with this? Man, I saw you with the hat. Come on down. I've written a couple of, come on, that's what I'm talking about. Written a couple of books. I See a New Prophetic Generation. We just got done with Sid Roth in Charlotte. He interviewed me about this book. I'd gone on a 21-day fast, and God really downloaded me with a vision for what's coming in the prophetic movement. Who can I bless with this? I saw your hand in the back. Come on. Recently, I co-authored a book with my prophetic father, Lauren Sanford, called The Micaiah Company, A Prophetic Reformation. If you're tired of the prophetic movement, this is a great book for you, because there's hope. Who can I bless this with? God's not going to shut down the prophetic movement because of our mess. He's going to clean it up, right? And then there's a prophetic school, the Samuel Company back there. It's a workbook. There's about 15 hours of training and teaching on prophecy and prophets. If that's something that you want more of, who can I give the workbook to? But the catch is you have to buy the audio. Okay, I'm going to warn you of the catch. You still want it?
Yes.
Okay. And then here is Pneuma Training, School of the Holy Spirit. This is a fill-in-the-blank with an answer key. There's also audio. Really want to help the body of Christ step into their divine design. Everybody has a gift, a calling, and a grace. It breaks my heart when believers do not know the gifts of the Holy Spirit that they possess, and they're not operating in them. And so, who can I bless with this? Right in there, black. Come on. Yep, you. You're welcome. Okay. If you have in your Bibles, will you turn to Acts chapter 10? Acts chapter 10. Isn't the weather so nice here? So hot in Florida. I went down to the springs and was kind of marveling at people getting in stinky water. I don't know. I hope I'm not offending you, but, and it's so hot. I don't get it, but the coffee was good at the place I went to, so enjoyed kind of hanging out today and getting to know the area, and Justin and his wife and the leadership team here have been really gracious to me and are great hosts, and I really want to thank you. I was brought here this weekend to teach on the prophetic, and so I taught last night on the prophetic, and I had a series of dreams last night that when I woke up, I talked with Justin today and said, I really feel like I want to go in a different direction today than kind of what we had planned. And so I hope that's okay. If it's not, I don't really care. I've got to answer to God, okay? So we're just going to go with this. I really think that the Lord is prophetically speaking to this region. I believe if you're here tonight, this is a now word from the Lord. And so I'm just going to preach it. We're going to prophesy. We're going to have an altar call and just see what God wants to do. Is that cool? All right, so let's bow our heads and grab the hands of the person next to you. I've always said, in order for a corporate outpouring, we have to have corporate agreement. And as even as we were worshiping tonight, I just see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Pagosa Springs that will unite the body of believers here. It's actually the move of the Holy Spirit that's coming that's going to unite denominations. So, Father, we just thank you for tonight. Lord, we come before you. And Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for your death on a tree, that you rose, Lord, that you're seated at the right hand of the Father, far above every principality and ruler and demon. And God, we just exalt you. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you energize us to love Jesus. So Holy Spirit, we ask, would you come and energize us? Would you come and fill us? Lord, I pray for an overflow. Lord, I pray for a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for tongues of fire. Lord, I pray for fresh baptisms in the Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would anoint us with boldness and courage and power. Lord, we thank you that these are the greatest days that the church has ever known. And Lord, we ask that you would remove right now every limitation, every restriction, every mindset, every box that we've placed on you. Every limitation, every restriction, every mindset, every religious box. Lord, we ask for grace. Every limitation, every restraint, every mindset, every box. We declare, Lord, that with you nothing is impossible. We thank you that there's a greater experience of the Spirit that's awaiting us all. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So I had a dream last night, and this is not unusual for me. Usually when I go into cities and minister, I'll have a dream that first night that will kind of begin to direct me about where the Lord wants to take that particular region or church. But the Lord began to highlight to me Ezekiel chapter 47. And you don't have to go there, but this is the chapter where Ezekiel takes a measuring line, and some of it, yeah, this is driving me crazy. Thank you.
Ezekiel takes a measuring line, and it says at some point in the river, the river was up to his ankles. Another part, it was up to his knees. Another part, it was to his waist. Another part of the river, it was so high that he could swim. And I believe that the river represents the movement of the Holy Spirit. There are some of you here tonight, your experience of the Spirit is ankle deep. Some of you, your experience of the Spirit is knee deep. Some of you, your experience of the Spirit is waist deep. Some of us, our experience of the Spirit is we're all in. Here's what I want to caution us, though. It's this thing called pride. You know, this thing called pride, it prevents us from deeper encounters in the Holy Spirit because we think we've heard it, seen it, and we know it all. And I want to encourage you, the greatest hindrance to another encounter is you thinking you already had one. The greatest hindrance to a deeper encounter in the Holy Spirit is you already thinking that you had it. And so when we come before the Lord and we begin to ask Him for a deeper and a greater experience of the Holy Spirit, one of my prayers is, Lord, give me the gift of spiritual hunger. How many of you are hungry for more of God? Because we've got a war on apathy. We've got a war on complacency. We've got a war on lethargy, that kind of malaise that comes in where we're just doing church, we're just doing family, and our heart is not on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ and to step into the fullness of all that He has provided for us. One of my prayers has been this: Jesus, everything that you paid for, everything that you paid for with your life, your death, and your resurrection, I want you to release that to my life. The Moravians put it like this: may the Lamb receive the full reward of His suffering. I mean, I don't know about you, but I get gripped with my little experience of the Spirit when I begin to read the book of Acts, when I begin to read the New Testament. And I'm telling you, I really feel like what the Lord is saying to Pagosa Springs is simply this: I'm inviting you into a deeper, I'm inviting you into a deeper encounter of my Spirit so that when the lost come into the church, they're not going to find a bunch of bored Christians. They're going to find a bunch of on fire Christians. Amen. This is the Isaiah 60. We are living in days of great glory and crisis. The increased darkness in our nation is supposed to be a prophetic sign to the church that this is our greatest hour. I want to say that one more time. The increased darkness in our nation. We've murdered 70 million babies now. We've legalized homosexual marriage. I hate to tell you, Donald Trump is not our savior. There is mass immorality, wickedness, and sin even going on in the house of God. But days of glory are coming to the church where you and I are going to step into marvelous light and begin to advance the kingdom against the gates of darkness. So, who's with me? Okay? Maybe you're ankle deep. Maybe you're knee deep. Maybe you're waist deep. Maybe you're all in over your head. But I want to encourage you, ask God to fill your heart with hunger. Lord, release the gift of spiritual hunger. I know in my walk with the Lord, it's like a broken record. I was writing about it the other day. It was like I get hungry, I chase after the Lord, I experience Him, and then I hit that wall. And I get hit with my prayerlessness. I get hit with my own spiritual bankruptcy, and then I got to dig that back deep again and chase after Him again with all my heart. But I want to say yes again. I want to say yes again. I want to recommit. I want to re-enlist. I don't want to just say, yeah, I said yes to Jesus 20 years ago. Lord, I want to say yes to whatever that You said to me even this morning. So I have here, we can't desire things that our eyes haven't seen, our ears haven't heard, and then run away when they appear. We can't desire things that our eyes haven't seen and our ears haven't heard, and then run away when they begin to manifest. I've been on this personal journey myself over many years, hungering for a greater experience of the Spirit and recognizing that there's a cost involved in pursuing all that the Lord has for me. Several years ago, I began to hear about what was going on in Redding, California. Has anybody been out there? Bill Johnson, some of those guys. I took a group and I said, Lord, I'm available, I'm open, I'm hungry. If there's something here that you have for me, I want it. And so we took a group out there, and my experience went something like this. We were sitting in the prayer room out there, and we're sitting next to this family, and there was they had four girls. And I'm sitting there, and I get a vision of this man and his father and some fight going on. And I just had a burden for him, but it was time to go to lunch. And so me and these group of pastors walked out into the parking lot, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Jeremiah, I'm going to give you a greater experience of who I am today. I want you to go back in that prayer room and share with that man what you saw. And so I go back in the prayer room. I share with this guy what I saw. He falls down on the floor and starts crying. He gets up and speaks to me in a language I've never heard before. And I'm just looking at him. His wife says, we're from Czechoslovakia. It was Switzerland. We're from Switzerland. And I'm like, well, come out to lunch with us. So we invite this family who we'd never met from Switzerland out to lunch with us. We're sitting in Olive Garden in Redding, California, and the Lord gives me an immediate word of knowledge for one of their daughters. And the Lord says to me, I've called her into the modeling and acting agency. And I'm like, that's weird. So I just tell the parents. And this is what they tell us. They say, we were pastoring in Switzerland, the man was telling me, with my father at a Baptist church. A team from Redding came to Switzerland and taught on the Holy Ghost. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and my dad kicked me out of the church. So that was the fight that I had seen, the vision, how the Lord had touched him. And he said, we didn't know what else to do but sell everything that we had and move to Switzerland. So this family with four young girls, completely broke and poor, seeking a greater experience of the Spirit, and here we are in Olive Garden. They have no money. So we pay their bill, and we get out to the parking lot, and, you know, we're going to say bye. And I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, Jeremiah, there's a greater experience of my Spirit I have for you. Ask them how much groceries they have. Well, what do you know? They had no groceries. We said, you see that Target over there? Let's go to Target. We're going to buy you some groceries. So we go over to Target. We didn't get one cart. We got two. I kid you not, we walk into Target, and literally from me to this clock back there, we walk into Target, and out of an aisle steps a blonde woman. She looks at us and comes right up to this mother and says, I'm from a modeling and acting agency in Redding, and points to the daughter that I prophesied over and said, we're going to hire her. This family gets thrown into hysterical crying, okay? You're talking like you go from a moment to boom, the power of God is right in your midst. We went and grabbed a third cart, okay? We were throwing turkeys and chickens and just as much as, because now we're getting excited. We're getting expectant, Lord, what else are you going to do? We finish up the grocery shop extravaganza. We get out to their car. I hear a voice again. I want to give you a greater experience of my Spirit. Ask them how much gas they have in their car. What do you know? None. I said, you see that gas station over there? Let's go over to the gas station and get you some gas. We pull over into the gas station, get out and start pumping them gas on this side of the pump. A car pulls up on the other side of the pump, and a man gets out. He walks right up to our group, and he points right at me, and he starts prophesying the word of the Lord to me and to the pastors there, and three of us fell out in the Spirit, slain in the Spirit, in a parking lot in a gas station in Redding, California. I mean, the power of God reverberating through our very beings. We got up from that encounter, and the Lord began to say to me, there are encounters that will lead to other encounters that I am preparing for my body. There's a deeper level of experiencing the Holy Spirit as we walk with Him down this road called faith. Many people say faith is spelled risk. But I said last night, the walk of Christians is supposed to be the most exciting, the most adventurous, the most waking up saying, I can't wait to see what God has today. You were created for the supernatural. Woven into your DNA was this hunger for, Lord, there's got to be more than three songs and a nice message. There's got to be more than 9 to 5 and a 401k. I was created for eternal glory. I was born for intimacy with God. And I was not only born to connect with Him, I was born to connect with other people. But how many of us have been like those two men on the road to Emmaus? Jesus is revealing Himself to them. And you remember what they did? They said, let's turn in for the night. I fully believe if those men could have been patient and continued to walk with the Lord, He would have continued to reveal Himself to them. And they said, isn't our hearts burning within us? I want to encourage you tonight, do not turn in. Do not turn in early when God is just getting started. Do not turn in early for the night, says the Lord, when I'm just about to rev the engines. Have you ever had this sensation going to conferences? Have you ever gone to a big conference and after the first session you feel full? Am I the only one? You're just like, I'm topped off. I'm done. They keep speaking and I'm just like, You know, when they asked Leonard Ravenhill, who's one of my heroes, they asked him, Leonard, what's your greatest fear in life? Leonard Ravenhill said, my greatest fear in life is to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and for God to say to me, Leonard, I had so much more I wanted to say to you, but you could not bear it. Oh, this just grips me. This grips me that I could get to the point where I placed limitations, restrictions, boxes, barriers on the Lord. And He said, there's so much more I wanted to introduce you to. There's so much more I wanted to say to you, but you couldn't take it because X, Y, and Z. And so God is calling Pagosa Springs. He's calling those of us who are here tonight to begin to posture our hearts before the Lord and say, Holy Spirit, would you help me? We need His grace, saints. We need the grace of God to come and apprehend us. We need the grace of God to help us to surrender to the Holy Spirit. I thank Holy Spirit for speaking to me into that parking lot and saying, go back in. At any point of that series of encounters that I shared with you, I could have stopped and we would have missed the next open door. How are we doing? As a young man in the prophetic, I was always hungry to be around other prophets. And one year I got this idea that I was going to hitchhike to a prophets conference. Talk about hunger and desperation. I mean, have you ever been around hungry and desperate people for Jesus? You know, my experience has been, when I thought I was hungry, God sent me someone that was really hungry that made me feel like I wasn't even saved. So I'm hungry for prophetic training, development, older men to pour into me, and I hear about this prophets conference, these prophets that I've been following. I read all their books, I read all their tapes, I read all their CDs. I'm a poor college student. I literally have like $5 in my bank account, and I'm convinced I've got the word of the Lord to go to the prophets' conference. Well, you better bet your bottom dollar I didn't tell my parents. Well, I hitchhike up to Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, and sit with a sign that literally read, looking for a ride to the prophets' conference. You can imagine what kind of passerbys I began to engage. Like, what the heck is that? To my amazement, a man named Dave, who pastored a church in Illinois, walked by one day. And he said, hey, what are you doing? I said, dude, I'm hungry and desperate for more of God. I don't care if I don't have the money. The Lord spoke to me. I'm supposed to be here. So this guy pays my way to get into the conference. I literally, and I wouldn't recommend this to anybody, okay, this is not, you know, this is disclaimer, but I sleep in the hotel room with this guy I've never met before. He pays all my bills. He pays for everything. He puts me back on a plane back down to Lakeland where I was going to Bible college. And I'm telling you, there was something stirred up inside of me at that conference that I just can't explain. All because I was just hungry and desperate for more of the Lord. I was preaching in Edmonton, Canada 2 years ago, doing some revival meetings up there. And there was about 2 hours before I was going to be picked up at the night meeting. And I was in a hotel in Edmonton, downtown on a river. And I looked out the window and there was a pier, like as far as my eye could see. And the Lord said, I want you to go down to that pier. And I started arguing with the Lord. I don't know if it's just me, but what I've found out is when God is preparing you for an encounter, it's never convenient. In fact, I'm convinced wanting more of God on your own terms is going to get you nothing. I'm convinced wanting revival your way is going to get you no revival. So I start arguing with the Lord. I'm like, it's going to take me at least an hour to walk down there. I'm going to have to put on my clothes I'm going to preach on. And obviously, I'm hearing nothing. And that, you know, when the Lord is silent, it means I don't care. Do what I told you to do. So I put on my clothes, and I literally kid you not, I walk down a massive embankment 1 hour and get out to this overpass overlooking this river, and of course, there's no one there. Like, there's no one there, and there's nowhere one around, and I'm sitting there thinking, good one. Here I am, an hour into this stupid hike, I'm soaked in sweat, doing what? I'm just sitting there, I start praying in the Spirit. Out of nowhere, a guy drives, he comes up on a bicycle, gets off his bike, and I'm sitting looking at the river, and he's looking at the river on the other side, and I'm saying, no way. This has got to be him. There's no other person here. So I strike up a conversation with him. Hey, what's your name? Hey, my name's Ishmael. First question I asked him, have you ever heard of Jesus Christ? No, who's that? A guy named Ishmael, never heard of, like never, no Bible, nothing, never heard of Jesus Christ. Long story, God radically delivers and sets this guy free. And the Lord, out of this encounter, releases to me a word for the church of Edmonton saying, you are birthing an Ishmael, and God has called you to give birth to an Isaac. I go to the meeting that night and deliver this word to this gathering, huge gathering of pastors and leaders, and they're simultaneously slain in the Spirit all at the same time. I mean, wouldn't it have just been great to stay in the hotel? Like I could have eaten dinner. I didn't have to. But I just wonder what Holy Spirit would prompt you to do. You. Because I tried to warn you last night. The spirit of religion is talking to you right now. And what it's saying to you is, well, that's great for him. God could never use me that way. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Every person in this room, because you have Jesus Christ inside of you and you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, He can lead you into your own encounters and a greater experience of His Spirit. But I'm just sharing all these testimonies just to stir up faith in the room. How many of you feel like your faith is rising? We've got to go after some of this in prayer. We've got to go after this, some of this practically. I remember being in Bible college my senior year, and they gathered all the pastoral ministry majors together, and they said, listen, we're going to prepare you for senior pastoring. And I'm like, awesome. And they said, what senior pastors do is they get alone with God at the beginning of the year, and they plan out 52 weeks of sermons. So for your big senior assignment, we want you to plan out 52 weeks of sermons. Well, I made a mistake of going back to God and asking Him what He thought about that. So I go back to God and say, okay, these guys are asking us to, you know, to give 52 weeks of subjects and sermons and whatever. And the Lord said, I want you to write Holy Spirit on the paper and turn it in. You can tell I'm a real troublemaker. I turn the paper in, and of course I get an F. The guy calls me into his office and rebukes me and said, son, you could never operate that way in ministry. Everything has to be planned. Everything has to be prepared. It has to be thought out in advance. You can't deviate from the plan. I had the privilege of emailing that same professor of mine about a year ago. And I said, sir, after about 10 years in full-time ministry, I'm more convinced now of what I wrote to you as a college student than I am ever. Because I believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit is being restored back to the church. And here's what I want to tell you. I'm not against structure. I'm just against structure without life. I'm not against form. I'm just against form without power. I believe we can plan. I believe we can prepare. But if Holy Spirit starts moving, guess what? Get out of the way. God has sent me all over the nation to challenge church paradigms, church structures. I preach in churches that have 5 services on a Sunday. And obviously for them, the big problem is the parking lot. Service has to be out in 55 minutes or there's going to be a parking lot jam. And what are we going to do? I was preaching down in Peru earlier this year, and I got this, you know, prestigious invitation to minister at the largest church in Peru, about 60,000 people. They told me, you know, it's very American-like and this kind of thing, and I'm thinking, okay. So I go down there, and I'm meeting with the pastors there, and they tell me, you know, they prep me before the night service, and they say, listen, all these people take the bus to get here. So if you do not let them out of service at 8:30 p.m. sharp, okay, they're going to miss the bus, and they're going to have to walk miles home. And I'm like thinking, that's pretty legit. You know, I mean, we have us Americans like, you know, what, we can't stay. You know, you have, well, I'm not even going to meddle right now. I'll leave that. No, maybe I should. Like, what's up? No, maybe I shouldn't. No. No. I'm going to stay in the Spirit. So I'm like, okay, 8:30, that's, you know, that's fine. Service starts at 7. I'll let them out at 8:30. Well, I preached this message on the Holy Spirit and His power returning to the church. I respected the leadership. I turned the mic back over to them at 8:25. Here was the problem. No one moved. The pastor dismisses everybody. No one moves. He says, you can go. No one moves. He looks at me, shrugs his shoulders, and just gives me the mic back. Saints, I preached to them till 1 in the morning. The power of God came and literally shook that entire city, and they all walked home. A hunger and a desire for an experience of the Spirit trumped any personal sacrifice that they had to make to walk home. I wonder, those of us in this room, if we're really that hungry. I mean, I wonder if it was just as small as the Lord saying, hey, I want you to miss dinner tonight, and so you can come and be with me. I wonder if in our high schools or in our colleges or in our businesses, the Lord said, I want you to start meeting at this time each week and contend and believe for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But where is experiencing more of God? Where is that on what we value? Because I know my life is directed by what I value. What I say is appetite dictates the direction of our lives. What are you hungry for tonight? Just close your eyes for a minute. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need the grace of God. I can't overemphasize that enough. Holy Spirit, right now, we invite you to come and release hunger in our minds and in our hearts. Release holy expectation and desire for more than status quo Christianity. God, we're hungry and we're thirsty to see you move like never before. When the Spirit flows, do not say no. When the Spirit flows, do not say no. God, we ask for grace to yield to your Holy Spirit. Lord, open up our eyes, open up our ears, we pray. Lord, don't leave us out of what you're doing in this generation. Lord, don't leave this people out of what you're about to do in Pagosa Springs. God, we don't want to miss you. God, we don't want to miss what you're about to do in this generation. Let me tell you one more story. I'm telling you, man, you just get wounded for more. You can't go back. It's like God creates this cavity inside of you. John G. Lake called it the God cry. There's just something inside of you that will not be satisfied. It's like coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm thankful for all that you've done and all who you are, but I want more. I'll take scraps off the table. I'll take a little here and a little of that. But I'm, you know, and I was telling Justin, listen, I get it. I try to tell you, I get local church life. I have a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and an 18-month-old. I preach messages in Lakeland. These are the titles. Burning for Revival in the Midst of Poopy Diapers and Paying Bills. I'm literally changing my daughter's diaper, groaning inside, saying, Lord, there's got to be more than this. I'll tell you one more story. I hope this will encourage you. About 2 years ago, we had a Sunday morning church service, and the guitar player, Eric, man, he shredded it. He killed it. It was awesome. And I'm like, man, I'd love to take him out to lunch that week and just encourage him and exhort him in the Lord. And so after church on Sunday, I got out my cell phone and I texted Eric. And I said, man, you did a great job. It was so good to see you. Could we get lunch this week? He texts back and said, hey, Jeremiah, it was great to see you today too. Let's meet at this location on Tuesday. So Tuesday, fast forward, and I meet Eric at this restaurant. I got to the restaurant first. I walk in and sit at a booth. I get out my phone and I text Eric and I say, hey, Eric, I'm here. I'm in booth, you know, 4. I get a text back from Eric and it says, hey, I'm here. I'm in booth 8. I look over and it's not him. So I get out my phone and I'm like, okay, I want to make sure that I'm sane right now. So I text again. I said, hey, Eric, I'm at the name of the restaurant. I'm in booth number 4. Are you here? He said, yeah, I'm here at the name of the restaurant in booth 8. And I look over and I'm like, oh my gosh, who is this guy? So I did kind of, I don't know if you've ever like thought you knew someone, so you just kind of did the awkward like look, like, you know, just to try to see. So I kind of did this awkward turnaround, and I'm like, I totally do not recognize this guy. But when you begin to sow into encounters, you just begin to expect them. Like, I'm honestly to the point in my life right now, like, when someone walks up to me in a restaurant, I just expect them to start prophesying. I'm like, dude, I'm open, Lord. It's a free-for-all. Go for it. So I'm like, I guess I'm going to have to engage this guy. I sit down in the booth next to this guy, and I said, Eric? And he said, Jeremiah? And we just stood there for about 20 seconds and stared at each other. Like, and I said, how did I get your phone number? And a light bulb went off. He said, dude, I bought a table off of Craigslist from you 7 years ago. I'm like, okay, so that's obviously how I had your number. But I'm like, so what are you doing right now? He says, I'm a Baptist pastor in town. And I'm thinking, oh, here we go. I said, so I thought I was texting Eric. What's your side of the story? He said, we had a young man named Jeremiah come into our church on Sunday morning. And so when you texted me, I thought he was you. So when you said, hey, this is Jeremiah, I'm thinking it's that kid. And when he said, hey, this is Eric, I'm thinking he's the bass player. You guys tracking with me? It's okay, just go. This is like Christianity to me. What? So I'm sitting there with this guy, and in my head, I mean, he's just talking, and I'm just sitting there thinking, why am I here, God? This is not a coincidence. Can I just encourage you, some of you, to get over coincidence? I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in divine appointments. I believe in divine intervention. I've been at a Lowe's and seen person and went to the next place, a restaurant, and I'm like, and they were there. I'm like, oh, it's over. I'm going up to them. I don't need any more confirmation than that. So I'm sitting there talking to this guy, and the Lord tells me his wife has depression. She's suicidal. I want you to pray for her, and I'm going to baptize him in the Holy Ghost. So we finish up lunch. We get in the parking lot. He's walking to his car, and I said, hey, Eric, I want to encourage you with something. He goes, yeah, what's that? I said, the Lord showed me that your wife is struggling with depression, and she's suicidal. He starts weeping. Completely breaks down. I hold this guy in my arms. Is God just pours out his spirit. We contended for his wife in that moment, and he was baptized in the Holy Ghost in that parking lot and looks at me and says, what am I going to do? I said, what do you mean, what are you going to do? He said, dude, I'm Baptist. I said, let me tell you something, brother. The Lord doesn't care about denominations. God doesn't care. I prophesy to people, and the first thing they say to me is, well, I'm Catholic. So? Are you a son or a daughter of God? I was on a plane a couple of months ago. This is my last testimony, I promise. A guy is sitting right next to me, and for me, it's always awkward when people ask me where I'm going. You know, like, where are you going? I'm a motivational speaker. I don't know, because they ask all these questions like, well, what are you going to be talking about? I'm like, prophecy. So this guy is sitting next to me on this plane, and, you know, he said, you know, what are you doing? And I'm saying, I'm an encourager of God's people. You know, I'm a speaker. And I said, what do you do? He said, oh, I'm studying for the ministry. I said, really? He said, yeah, I go to this Baptist university. I just got my PhD. I'm like, man, that's awesome. I said, what did you write your paper on? He said that the gifts of the Holy Spirit don't exist today. And of course, I don't know. I kind of like to mess with people. I said, so how much did that cost you? He said, $85,000. I said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you for 2 minutes. And in 2 minutes, you can tell me whether you think the gifts of the Holy Spirit are real today or not. And he's like, go ahead. So I start praying over this guy, and I get about 15 words of knowledge for him. He starts crying on the airplane. He's shaking. And he's looking at me thinking, and he's saying, how is this possible? I said, brother, God is pouring out his Spirit on all flesh. Please hear me. These stories have nothing to do with me. If we will make ourselves available to the Lord at all times, you never know who around you. It needs a greater experience of God. And as you help be that conduit, you get to drink of the river too. So I'm like, Lord, I don't want an infilling. I want an overflowing. God wants to take our limitations and turn them into invitations to cry out to more. God wants to take our ceilings and turn them into footstools. Come on, what is your ceiling tonight? How I like to ask it is, what can't God do? What ceiling do you have? What cap? What box? I love this song, Spirit Break Out. Well, where is he coming from? Spirit, break out, break my walls down. He's in you. Rivers of living water, John 7:37. Rivers, put your hands on your belly. There are rivers of living water, Holy Spirit living down on the inside of you. He wants out. Spirit, break out, break my walls down. What does that mean? It means, Lord, whatever limitations, restrictions, hindrances, boxes that I've placed on you, whatever areas that I've told you no, I'm asking you, God, would you come and do a fresh work in my heart where I willingly and lovingly lay down my life so that other people can encounter you? Because this is what this generation needs. They must have an encounter with Jesus. Singing songs and quoting scriptures will not save this generation. I had a dream a couple of years ago. The Lord really rocked me. He said, the devil is not terrified of anyone who lives in church, but he is deeply afraid of those who have learned how to live in Christ. You know, maybe that's the problem. Why we've raised our kids in church and they're no longer serving God. Maybe because we raised them in church and we never taught them how to live in Him. The whole point of being in church is to teach people He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. The role of church leaders is not to plug you into a program. The role of church leaders is to plug you into the God-man. His name is Jesus. Come on, his eyes burn with fire. There's no one like our God. There's no one like our God. There's no pleasure available to us outside of Him. As we give our lives to experiencing Him, I'm telling you, all the things of this world pass away. What you once desired when you come to Christ, you won't desire them any longer. As we sow into the Spirit, we begin to crave the Spirit. All right, how are we doing? All right, Acts 10. So you don't think I'm a heretic, let's read the Bible. So Lord, just sow all those testimonies into our heart. Let it produce faith and encouragement. No one is safe from the love of God. All right, Acts 10. When I read the scriptures, especially the book of Acts, I always look for shifts. Shifts. Shifting produces sifting. Shifting produces sifting. There's always a point where when the Lord begins to call us deeper as we pursue Him, things begin to shift. And I believe in the book of Acts, you have this Acts 2, mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit, signs, wonders, and miracles. Acts 1 through 9, I mean, it's amazing. But God didn't stop there. God says, you know what, there's more. So let's look at Acts 10. I'm going to read probably, just bear with me, about 20 verses or so. All right, are you ready? Now there was a certain man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household and gave many alms to Jewish people and prayed to God continually. About the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come into him and said to him, Cornelius. And fixing his gaze upon him and being much alarmed, he said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon who is called Peter. He is staying with a certain tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea. And when the angel who was speaking to him had departed, he summoned two of his servants, and a devout soldier of those who were in constant attendance upon him. And after he had explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. And on the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up to the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry and desiring to eat. But while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. And behold, the sky opened up, and a certain object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by four corners to the ground. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, arise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, yes, Lord, that's exactly what I had in mind. Come on, saints. Hear what the Spirit is saying to Pagosa Springs. Hear what the Spirit is saying to your life tonight. How many of you are not from this region? You drove in, you came in. This word's for you too. And a voice came to him, arise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, never, Lord. I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean. And again, a voice came to him a second time. What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. And this happened three times. And immediately the object was taken up into the sky. Now, while Peter was greatly perplexed in mind as to what the vision that he had seen might be, behold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked directions to Simon's house, appeared at the gate. And calling out, they were asking whether Simon, who was called Peter, was staying there. And while Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. Arise, go downstairs and accompany them without misgivings, for I myself have sent them. And I'll just fill you in on the rest of the story. But basically what ends up happening is Peter goes with these men. He goes to Cornelius' house. The Holy Spirit falls on them all. They're saved. and baptized in the Holy Spirit.